We're your station, 88.9 KETR. I'm Jared Knight, and today I've got the honor and privilege of visiting with three-time Olympic gold medalist and most successful athlete in beach volleyball history with 112 domestic and international championship wins, Misty May Trainer. Welcome, Misty.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
I said all those things, Olympic gold, three-time Olympic gold medalist and most successful athlete in beach volleyball history, and I said them because I think they're important. I think this is a very important deal, but I want to know how you get to this point. I know that you started playing volleyball at a very young age.
Yeah, my mom was a tennis player. Mm-hmm. She played tennis at UCLA, and when she met my dad, started playing volleyball. My dad was a 1968 Olympian for indoor volleyball, so it kind of runs in the family.
Family business.
Exactly. They owned a pizza shop down in Santa Monica when I was born, and right. I was raised on the beach of Santa Monica, and then we moved to Orange County. So volleyball's kind of always been there, and it was a family thing we'd all do together. But they allowed me to play different sports. I love soccer.
Right.
I played basketball. I did play tennis. But volleyball was one thing I just had the passion for and continued with it.
Kind of glad you did.
So
it's been working out.
For the most part, yeah. You know. No, I'm kidding. No, it's been, you know, the career I've had has been excellent, and it's opened so many doors and avenues, and I'm still kind of on that journey, maybe right. In a little different aspect, but still on that journey.
So. Really exciting. Well, you were a college senior when your AVP tour began, started up. It's whenever you were kind of mixing everything, work, what was going to be your career, and college. How do you do that? How do you strike that balance?
I actually thought I'd be playing indoor a lot longer. I was with the national team and I quit the indoor national team in 99. But the beauty of beach volleyball is it happens in the summer. And so when we had time off from school, I'd be at the beach playing and was able to play in a couple tournaments. Obviously, you don't, you know, collect the money or the, you know, you
sure.
can't do anything, but it's mere for the love of the sport and maybe to get your foot in the door. So I made the decision after leaving college. I went with the indoor national team. I thought I'd be participating in my first Olympics indoor, but obviously that didn't happen. With beach volleyball entering the Olympics in 96, I quit the national team just because that fire was starting to burn out.
Sure.
And I just have such a passion for the game. I didn't want to hate it and made the switch to go full throttle at the beach and made my first Olympics in 2000 with Holly McPeak, and kind of that's where the story
I started to say, we all kind of know
began.
What happened since then, right?
Yeah.
We've been keeping up. So as the most decorated athlete in beach volleyball history, what do you think was probably one of the biggest inspirations for your Olympic dreams? Did you have Olympic dreams? Did you know that was going to be something you were going to do?
I didn't. Like when I was a child, I wasn't like 10 saying, hey, I'm going to be an Olympian.
Right.
You know, I said, I love soccer. I even saw myself playing soccer, you know, at a high level.
Right.
I wanted to be a vet or a zookeeper. And it wasn't until I think the end of college that I said, you know, this is something I could really do. I didn't know beach. Like I said, I didn't know it'd be on the beach side. I thought more on the indoor side. But really, I mean, there are two catalysts in my career, and that's my parents, because they drove me to every tournament I was in, you know,
right.
kind of pushed me from a little kid, was that, you know, support system I needed the whole way through. So they were a big part of why I became an Olympian, how I became an Olympian, but also all the coaches and kind of the people I've met along the way. But
how far into the Olympian thing did you get before you thought, hey, you know what, this is going to be really cool, and that Wheaties box is going to be really cool?
I mean, growing up, you always want your picture on a Wheaties box.
Right,
all
sure.
the athletes, you're like, dang, how do I get up there, you know?
Right, right.
Well, I'm finally there. So, but, you know, it's not something that would break me if it didn't happen, but I put in all the work, and it's taking that effort and all the hard work, and things have a funny way of happening.
Right.
The way either they're supposed to or you want them to. But you really got to lay everything on the line and do that, and I felt that I did that, you know. And being an Olympian, you kind of take a different oath because people are looking at you. Being a champion, people, you know, kids are looking at you. And, you know, my dad would always tell me, when you are like a world champion or a champion, it's a pretty lonely place to be, which right. is true because you make a lot of sacrifice. You're working out when some people aren't working, you know. So there's a lot of commitments to be made. But I don't know, Olympics, I think everybody has to have a goal, have a passion. And for Carrie and I, Olympic gold was that huge goal for us.
Sure.
But definitely there were little goals along the way. But I mean, I think every tournament is special. And that one just seems to be on a bigger platform.
Right. A lot more eyeballs.
Exactly.
Right.
A lot more everything.
Sure. We're chatting with the 3-time Olympic gold medalist, Misty May Traynor. And speaking of Carrie, I haven't really been talking about the word retirement just yet, but there was talk of retirement before London. And so we just kind of want to know if there's any chance that you might come back out one more time with Carrie and Rio.
I think with the retirement pre-London, a lot of it had to do with my Achilles injury.
Uh-huh.
Tearing my Achilles and my soleus, because you just don't think you're going to bounce back in the same way that right. you were playing before.
So you I think can't that had the healing process.
That had a lot to do with it. And then, like I said, with our tour, we sacrificed a lot being away from our family and friends. And my husband and I want a family. And, you know, he's baseball, so we're gone the same time. We never see each other. So there were quite a few factors. But I'm glad I came back for London. And I have to say, I retired internationally. It's too much. And it's time for me to focus on other things. Like a family, I actually graduate in 3 weeks with a master's degree that I've been working on. I'm helping volunteer at the university across the street from where we live in Long Beach. And so it's time to, not that I wasn't living life before or my life wasn't full, but it's time to rekindle with family and friends and I guess get some me time.
Sure. That's a really great, it's a lead into another question that I've got here, talking about Matt, you know, being a free agent now. You're retired internationally. He's a free agent in the MLB. What's kind of next for the Traynor family?
Driving here. We miss Texas.
Yeah?
Yeah. Arlington Stadium's really nice.
Isn't it nice?
Yeah. It was great to watch the games there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, no, he wants to, you know, he's coming back from knee surgery, but he's itching at getting back on the field, so he wants to get back there and play. And, like I said, I'm going to graduate my master's degree in coaching and athletic administration in 3 weeks.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah. My passion is coach. I love teaching and coaching. So I was doing clinics pre-Olympics and had to put them on hold. They were called M2 volleyball clinics. Well, now I've incorporated as Dream and Gold clinics because I always use Dream and Gold.
Sure.
And I'm starting a Dream and Gold Junior Series beach tour for kids. So there's a lot on my plate, but all good things, and trying to help promote the game and get it moving. And we went camping. That was a highlight, camping and fishing.
Do you just get to do that whenever you want to?
Not so much.
Yeah.
Schedule's still a little crazy, right. But in good ways.
Right. I think it's kind of neat just to hit pause every now and then and just go out.
Nice.
And enjoy.
I haven't been camping since I was 10.
Really?
So that's that what long. People say. See, it's the little things.
Yeah. Camping's exciting for a lot of folks, but it's kind of different there. You're overcoming setbacks. You've already overcome a lot of setbacks, injuries, and there was even some talk of no London. We kind of addressed that, you know, some things happen that put in question what you're going to do next. What kind of advice might you have for young people, athletes or otherwise, who might face adversity while they're trying to do something that, you know, has been either a lifelong dream or...
Oh, geez, I've been through many injuries, and it's just a matter of, with the injuries, what do you ultimately want to do? If it's getting back on the court, then set yourself up to make everything possible. You know, find the right trainers, take the right precautions to get yourself back on the court playing. I've faced death. My mom passed away in 2002, so I've had to overcome that. But sports was one of those avenues where I was able to kind of get away from that, and I was able to, you know, use that in the grieving process. But I think it's, you know, with any athlete, you got to have a passion for what you do.
Right.
If there's no passion there, it's pretty hard to show up to practice every day or, you know, therapy every day. If, you know, you get the eye roll and you're like, not this again.
Sure.
So there's got to be a passion in what you do. There's got to be goals set with mini goals that are attainable so that you see, you know, that you're still headed in the right direction. You know, it's tough. I think we all go through adversity at different points of our lives, different periods, you know, during the season, and in different ways. People, you know, you see different TV shows or movies about people overcoming adversity. And so when you think life is bad, I mean, my dad would always tell me growing up to play for those that couldn't play. So all the sick, all the people in hospital beds, maybe, you know, the physically handicapped that aren't able to perform at the level I can, to play for them. So if you think you're having a bad day, you're really not.
Right.
You know, there's somebody that would love to switch places with you for 1 minute. So I think if you look at different hardships or different things that come as a hurdle, and it's like, how am I going to get over this hurdle? You find yourself. You find the strength that you have to overcome it. You know, we all kind of don't know how strong we are until we're hit with something.
Right.
And then we realize, hey, you know what? We can do this. We can do anything. So,
I'll tell you what, you sound very motivated. You sound like a coach.
No, this is what I sound like. You get on that line right now.
You can do it. You can do it.
Give me 10. You didn't go for that ball.
You think this is a bad day? Right.
So.
Exactly. So this one, kind of a softball. What do you think is your proudest moment as an individual athlete or Olympian?
I think my proudest moment as an Olympic athlete or as an athlete or Olympic athlete. Oh gosh, I don't know. I mean, I love helping others, and I love, you know, showing people the joy I have on the court. Maybe they can live vicariously through me, and cheering up people. I like to inspire others. Obviously, winning gold is fantastic because you're not only playing for yourself, your hard work, but you're playing for your families, you're playing for your country, and it kind of boosts that morale, you know?
Right.
And so to me, that's one of the proudest moments, but that moment has opened up so many other avenues. I've been able to meet kids that have been sick in the hospital in comas that come out, and now we're family friends, right? You know? So it's opened up so many other avenues. But I think the proudest moment is just being an American, you know, marching behind that flag and
serving that higher purpose. So exciting. I certainly wanted to talk about all of those things, but I also want to find out kind of what you'd like for us to know, because I know that this stuff is going through your head all the time, and here you are back in Texas. There's a lot of things, and you're actually on campus doing a speak at an event here on campus. A lot of folks can kind of get some insight into the minds of Olympic athletes. Talking to you, and I hope you don't take offense to this, but you feel it seems very much like that you're just a very hardworking athlete, and you've done the things necessary to get onto that stage and to perform at that level, which is really exciting.
I think you have to be. And my dad was talking about this earlier, and Linda, actually, who's speaking with us, was saying, you know, 50% of it's luck. Mm-hmm. And my dad was saying, you have more lucky moments when you put, when you do everything you can to make them happen.
Right.
So when you say, oh, you're lucky, well, you've probably done the things you're supposed to do mm-hmm. to make that happen. But I don't know. I like interacting with people, and I think I'm a very humble person. I just do what I do.
Right.
You know, you have other, play the piano very well. I get envious of people that have other things. I just happen to play volleyball very well. And, you know, that's what I have to remind kids when they meet me. They're like, you know, speechless. It's like, hey, guess what? If I cut my skin, what happens?
Right.
And they're like, you bleed. It's like, yeah, I have to eat to survive. I'm just like you. I just excel, I guess, in a different avenue.
Right.
But I think you have to work hard. No matter what you do, you got to work hard. Nothing's going to come easy.
I can't wait till you're spending a lot of time teaching the next generation of volleyballers to do those things. I feel like that's probably something that might be in your future.
It already is.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah. It's so fun. It's fun to see kids progress or athletes progress. And they keep you on your toes too, because everybody, you have to deal with so many different personalities, or maybe they're not understanding what you're trying to tell them, and you got to break down skills, you know? So you're constantly thinking of how to become a better coach. And
right.
I think, you know, that's what we strive for. It's what Carrie and I, we're striving for, is everybody saw us as the greatest, but we always like, we can get better.
Right. Well, at least you're going to Rio to watch, yes?
I I don't know.
You're going to be there.
4 years.
I can already tell. You're going to
be there. Now is now. We live in the present.
It is. It is the present. Stop trying to look around the corner. Misty, it's been a pleasure to speak with you. So glad you could visit the studios, the campus, and good luck in everything that you've yet to do.
Thanks for having me. This was great.